When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. How do you know you're not overpaying? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a technology company that securely connects with your insurance and reviews your claims for overbilling, wrong codes, and even fraud. To date, HealthLock has saved its members over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Before we start the show, just a reminder to share, like, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to it. And please, give us a 5-star rating. It helps us beat the big tech algorithm. Also, if you love Red Pilled America, please consider becoming a Backstage subscriber. You'll have exclusive access to our entire back catalog of episodes and our behind-the-scenes podcast. Just visit redpilledamerica.com and click support in the top menu for details. And don't forget to get merch from the RPA store. RPA merch is always made in America and never stuck on a cargo ship. Visit redpilledamerica.com and click shop in the top menu. Support what you love or it goes away. Thanks, everyone.
Silicon Valley is known for its ruthless competition, constantly battling each other to grow even larger. But one area where they put down their swords is the topic of immigration. Silicon Valley loves immigrants.
My view on DACA is the Congress needs to fix DACA, and fix DACA to me means allow everyone to stay in the country.
We benefit from immigration. We benefit from diversity.
The Washington Post reports Amazon founder Jeff Bezos and his wife are donating $33 million to fund scholarships for undocumented immigrants called Dreamers.
I hear fearful voices calling for building walls and distancing people they label as others.
But why? Why does Silicon Valley love immigrants? I'm Patrick Carelci.
And I'm Adriana Cortez.
And this is Red Pilled America, a storytelling show.
This is not another talk show covering the day's news. We're all about telling stories.
Stories Hollywood doesn't want you to hear.
Stories the media mocks. Stories about everyday Americans that the globalists ignore.
You can think of Red Pilled America as audio documentaries, and we promise only one thing. The truth. Welcome to Red Pilled America. You'd be hard-pressed to find a Silicon Valley titan who doesn't want to open our borders to immigration, both legal and illegal. When someone within their ranks goes against that orthodoxy, even opposing illegal immigration, they feel the wrath.
Protesters targeted the home of tech industry billionaire Peter Thiel. They are speaking out against the work by one of his companies that could track airline passengers and other immigrants.
Silicon Valley is unanimously for increasing immigration to the United States. But as we know, any time a community is unanimously agreed on a subject, something else is usually afloat. Why does Silicon Valley want to increase immigration to the United States? To find the answer, we're going to hear the story of two tech industry insiders. One, a longtime computer programmer that became a whistleblower, and another, an immigrant to the United States who began his career in Silicon Valley. We'll give a perspective that the masters of big tech don't want you to hear.
I'm Adriana Cortez. Roger Ross came to the U.S. in a kind of roundabout way. His parents were actually South African diplomats.
We were in South Africa because they had migrated from Europe, and my father was working for the World Bank Organization there. So I was born and raised in South Africa, and it just became a really cozy place to grow up, and my parents never wanted to move back.
As a young boy, Roger had aspired to come to America.
I had always set my sights on the American dream, at least what it was depicted about it in the sitcoms and the Hollywood movies that I watched, you know, that America is this great land of opportunities and you can pursue all your dreams. And I really wanted to focus on that and become part of the American lifestyle. I really valued that lifestyle to the point where I even adopted and started to change my accent to fit in. So I did everything I could to assimilate into the culture.
He went to an international school in South Africa that encouraged its students to study abroad. So before his senior year of high school, he made the move to America, to a small town of 10,000 people in Northern California.
I actually started my journey quite early. I moved to the United States in 99, and I didn't graduate from the international school. I graduated from a local public school here in California. And I came here on a foreign exchange basis.
His high school was a predominantly white public school, and his years of admiring America made him fit right in on arrival.
A lot of the people were very friendly to me. They were actually astonished by my level of English, because a lot of the foreign exchange students that they had encountered spoke little English or with a heavy accent, and they thought that I was just someone who had, you know, migrated from San Diego and moved up north.
Roger wasn't feeling academically challenged at his new school, so he enrolled at a nearby college to take collegiate-level classes while simultaneously finishing high school. He would eventually attend UC Davis, where he got his bachelor's in applied mathematics and a master's in economics. By the time he graduated in 2010, Silicon Valley was making a comeback.
This was after the recession of 2008, where things started to be booming in Silicon Valley with Facebook going public and various other tech companies coming into the limelight and showing a lot of great success. So we started to see a boom in the startup industry.
At the time, the message being pumped out by Silicon Valley was that American employers needed the foreign students graduating from our American universities.
There was a startup that was interested in a market researcher or a market analyst.
So Roger applied for the job. And that's when the startup exposed him to the foreign work visa.
And they were, you know, they were short on funding, so they brought me on an H-1B visa.
An H-1B is a foreign worker visa that purports to help American employers fill job openings for highly skilled workers. They're only supposed to be used if the company cannot find a qualified American worker to fill the job. The origin of the H-1B visas goes back to the Immigration Act of 1990.
This bill provides for vital increases for entry on the basis of skills, infusing the ranks of our scientists and engineers and educators with new blood and new ideas.
Washington, D.C. created a whole host of foreign worker visas that were specifically not supposed to be used to displace American workers or negatively affect their wages. The employer is supposed to pay the foreign worker what is called the prevailing wage, which are the published wage levels that are usually paid to the majority of workers within a particular work sector. It's kind of like the minimum wage for a particular job. This way, the employer could not use these visas to bring in cheap foreign labor. The problem is, many big tech firms have been using these visas to bypass and replace American workers. Many employers like using foreign worker visas because of the many benefits they get from using them. One is a cost savings.
If you're paying an American $100,000 to do a job, and then you pay $60,000 to a foreigner, multiply that savings by 250, that's a lot.
That's Sarah Blackwell, a Florida-based attorney specializing in employment law and founder of Protect U.S. Workers.
But the ultimate end goal and the end game for this business model is that most of the work is offshore to India. And the company pays about $9,000 to $10,000 to those workers. So you take 250 American workers who are getting an average of $100,000, and now we're paying Indians in India to do it for $10,000. That's some serious savings. And that's, you know, they say, oh, we say, you know, labor cost savings. That's where we're getting the $5 million bonuses for the CEOs. And that's why the CEOs are making so much money, because they're using the lie of lack of workers and globalism and all of these other arguments for basically using foreign slave labor, in my opinion.
For people working in the United States with a foreign work visa, many refer to this labor arrangement as legal indentured servitude, because in order to keep their work visas and remain in our country, they have to work in conditions American citizens simply would not tolerate.
The Indian-based companies, or even when the American companies hire the H-1Bs, the H-1Bs have to have a sponsor to keep their visa. And so they are in a position to be exploited, to have to work a ton of hours and to be paid a certain amount, but have to give money back for certain things. And that happens a lot. And then the Americans have to compete with that. So the Americans who keep their jobs are left there having to compete with workers who are staying there 90 hours, because if they don't, they'll be sent back home.
Roger Ross experienced this exploitation firsthand when he became a foreign visa worker.
When I was initially sponsored for it, my correct job title should have been, you know, that of an economist or a market researcher or a market analyst. And my employer saw the prevailing wage in the job handbook and said, oh, that's too high of a salary. We can't afford to pay you that. So why don't we make your job, you know, something that we can find a prevailing wage that's much more lower. And at the same time, we want to employ you on a part-time basis, but make you work full-time. And, you know, that's how they exploited me, per se. And at that point, I was just like, okay, I just need to get the H-1B visa. You know, if this is what they want to do, then so be it. Because I'm just a fresh college graduate. I'm dying for a job. We're coming out of a recession. And any job will do, because I had loans to pay myself. So I gladly accepted, you know, whatever they deemed necessary to get me on the H-1B.
But what Roger learned was that he lost his ability to speak up because he was beholden to his employer. One false move and he could lose his job and be sent back to his country.
But as I got my H-1B, I noticed that, you know, there was no way I could retaliate or make my voice heard if I felt like I was being dealt inappropriately with the work, or whether I was not being paid fairly. I just felt like I didn't have a voice in that. And, you know, that was really problematic.
It's a problem for the foreign worker as well as for the American worker, because the exploited foreigner not only takes the job from an American, they also set the standard for the Americans still working within the company. And Americans don't just lose out on new job openings. Sometimes they are even forced to train their foreign replacement under incredibly stressful circumstances. That's what happened with Michael Emmons.
My daughter was born with spina bifida. She's had about 28 surgeries. And I'm training my foreign replacement workers. My insurance, I'm self-employed, so my medical insurance premiums were $947 a month. And to find out that my trainee's salary is $53 more than my medical premium, I mean, how does an American compete? And I don't know why, but I decided to fight it.
And fight it, Michael did. More of Red Pilled America after the break.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries, right? Well, not so fast. What about your out-of-pocket costs? That can be a lot of money for you and your family. And if you're like me, you can't help but wonder, was I overbilled? You're not alone. It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? That's why I want to tell you about HealthLock. What is HealthLock? It's a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and even fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. To date, HealthLock has saved its members over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. HealthLock finds medical bill errors before you pay. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max, Disney Plus, Apple TV, Amazon Prime, Showtime, Paramount, Paramount Plus, and on and on. What do these streaming services have in common? They are all storytelling platforms. Which of these platforms are you supporting with your hard-earned money? Now ask yourself if the stories being told on those platforms truly align with your worldview. And if they don't, ask yourself where you go to get entertainment in the form of storytelling that does align with your worldview. Red Pilled America is that show. We are not another talk show covering today's news. We are all about telling stories. We remain the only show of our kind. And why aren't there more shows like ours? Because it's expensive to create this kind of content. That's why we need your support. Without your support, this show doesn't survive. And more importantly, there'll be zero change to the monopolistic environment of storytelling. Please visit redpilledamerica.com and click support in the top menu. Support what you love or it goes away. The choice is yours.
Welcome back to Red Pilled America. Michael Emmons has seen a lot of the United States.
I was born in Mississippi, lived in Tennessee till fourth grade. Then we went to North Carolina till seventh. And then I've been here since eighth grade.
Here being Florida. That's where his father introduced him to programming.
My father said, why don't you try this? And I took one class and I was hooked.
Michael did then what so many people are told to do today. He learned to code.
It was a lot of concepts and learning how to code. One of my first class, we used an IBM mainframe. The PCs came in on my senior year. They started having like a PC lab. We used cards for my first two classes. You know, where you had like cards and you programmed on the cards and you ran them through a card reader.
He'd eventually graduate from the University of Florida in 1984 with a degree in computer science and began solving people's problems through coding.
I worked for Florida Department of Revenue and I created an application to accept revenue through checks out at the remote locations. So I then left to go with a small company that we created a crime laboratory tracking system. I built a jail system to handle all the money that inmates get. So when he was arrested, they took everything from him and they put it into our system and gave the inmate a receipt. I was working 80 hours a week and they were paying me about 40, and I asked for a raise and they didn't want to pay me. So that's when I decided I'm just going to go do this on my own.
He went coding in South Carolina, Texas, and Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He ended up at the Church of Scientology in Los Angeles.
Writing their, I call it a book-selling application, because to me, it's not really a church.
Then a guy he worked with left the Church of Scientology and got a job in Silicon Valley working with Siemens. So Michael took a contracting gig at Siemens, working on voice over IP phones.
What was Silicon Valley like in the 90s? Did it have the same kind of lore that it has now?
It was amazing. To go live and right smack in the middle of all the stuff that I, you know, do and everything, it was amazing. I really enjoyed it. But I believe it's changed quite a bit now.
In what way?
Well, it's overrun with foreign workers.
Michael would soon be overrun himself. After the dot-com bubble burst in 2001, Siemens merged two of their businesses into one. They had an office in Florida and offered Michael a contracting job at that office. He jumped at the chance because now he'd be able to actually live in his house instead of being on the road. But it was short-lived.
In the middle of 2002, the employees in the IT department were brought into a room and told them that they were going to have to train their replacements. They didn't know who it was, but they were told that they're going to basically be let go, but they want them to train their replacements. So I wasn't an employee, I was a contractor, so they didn't bring me into the room. But some of the employees had told me this is what's going on. About 30 days later, in comes about 30 or so mostly young male Tata India employees, our trainees.
Tata is a huge Indian company that, among other things, provides a foreign Indian workforce to corporations on American soil. At the time, Michael can't recall any foreign visa workers at Siemens and only remembered a few within the IT industry at large.
I don't think they had any visa holders working here. The group I worked for in Sunnyvale, they had about two or three on H-1Bs. And I knew who they were, and they were friends of mine, and there was no problem. You know, we worked together. We taught each other. You know, we learned from each other.
But now the entire IT department was being replaced by Indian workers.
Yeah, they assigned us people to train, and they watched over us as we did things.
Michael was floored. Here was an entire IT department, gainfully employed, many, like Michael, dependent on their jobs, now all being replaced by foreign workers. There was no worker shortage. These foreign workers didn't have high-skilled training that the IT staff didn't have. I mean, the workers were being trained by the American workers, for God's sake. No, these American workers were being replaced by foreign workers because they were simply cheaper. Michael learned this the hard way.
It was extremely rough at the time. My daughter was born with spina bifida. She's had about 28 surgeries. And I'm training my foreign replacement workers. I'm self-employed, so my medical insurance premiums were $947 a month. And to find out that my trainee's salary is $53 more than my medical premium, I mean, how does an American compete? And I don't know why, but I decided to fight it.
So Michael, a programming whiz, began digging around on the company servers, and he found some documents.
So I looked around on the server, and I found Tata's shared drive. And I found all their documents. And that's where I found the knowledge transfer documents, which I had given to my U.S. congressman. I found their staffing document, too. And what was interesting in the staffing document is all but about one or two of the people were on L-1B visas, intra-company transfer visas. Tata India transfers their employees from India to Tata America, then they sell them out to businesses in the U.S.
These L-1B visas are rarely discussed, but they are particularly harmful to American workers. This visa was originally created to allow foreign companies to bring their employees with, quote, special knowledge to help set up a branch in the United States. But in practice, L-1B visas are used in an entirely different way. They are predominantly used to replace American workers with cheap foreign labor. Foreign companies, primarily from India, set up shop in the United States, then bring their countrymen into the States and shop them out to American corporations. Unlike H-1B visas, there are no numerical limits on how many L-1B visas are issued, and there is no restrictions on paying the foreign worker a prevailing wage. In other words, the American corporation can pay them as little as possible. So these foreign workers become very attractive. When the corporations hire them, they make their American employees train their replacements. This process is known as knowledge transfer, and if an American worker refuses, they receive no severance package. Also, as a condition of receiving the severance package, the corporation shuts them up by making them sign away their right to speak to the press. These foreign visas are so often used in the IT business that insiders won't speak out about them for fear of being blacklisted from the industry. That's why we seldom hear about this morally reprehensible practice. We're constantly sold by the big tech industry that foreign workers are needed because of American worker shortages. But they're lying. Again, Sarah Blackwell.
The argument is they're high skilled and that's why we need them, and we don't have enough American workers to do the job. That's the argument. But obviously, we have high skilled American workers if the American high skilled workers are teaching the foreigners how to do their job.
Sarah represented former Disney employees in a high profile case. In 2014, 250 of the company's IT employees were forced to train their replacements, which was a large group of Indian nationals with foreign work visas.
Well, I filed a RICO lawsuit because, you know, these corporations have a lot of money and they paid some really smart attorneys to figure out how to break immigration and employment laws without breaking employment or immigration laws. So basically what Disney did, if they would have just done on their own, they would be violating employment law because you can't take 250 people and then replace them all with one race and one national origin. I mean, that's race and national origin discrimination. And if that contracting company had walked in and fired 250 of their American workers and replaced them with H-1B workers, they would have been violating immigration law. But the way they do it, they come together and set this business model up so that neither one are violating either law.
So these corporations find loopholes to legally replace American workers with cheap foreign labor, take advantage of the desperate foreign workers, and gag their former employees so no one knows what's going on. And they do it all with the help of our politicians in Washington, D.C. That's why what Michael Emmons did in 2003 was so important. He was a pioneer in blowing the whistle on this despicable corporate scam. When Michael was forced to train his replacements, he wasn't an employee. He was a contractor, and corporations at the time were not hip to shutting people up yet. Michael wasn't going to take this abuse sitting down. He was a highly skilled programmer that kept up to date with the industry's new technology.
But I've spent my whole career relearning and relearning to stay proficient in the industry.
So he approached a former customer and said he was looking for work. They scooped him up, but at a sizable salary decrease. Nonetheless, that freed him up to blow the whistle on the entire foreign worker visa scam. The country was about to learn how corporations were selling out the American worker. More of Red-Pilled America after the break. When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries, right? Well, not so fast. What about your out-of-pocket costs? That can be a lot of money for you and your family. And if you're like me, you can't help but wonder, was I overbilled? You're not alone. It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? That's why I want to tell you about HealthLock. What is HealthLock? It's a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and even fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. To date, HealthLock has saved its members over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. HealthLock finds medical bill errors before you pay. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Welcome back to Red Pilled America. So Michael Emmons learned that the company he was working for was replacing their American tech workers with cheap foreign labor. To add insult to injury, they were forcing them to train their replacements. Michael wasn't going to take this sitting down. He secured another job at a sizable pay decrease, but that freed him up to blow the whistle on the entire foreign visa scam. He contacted a local reporter at WKMG Orlando.
He did stories about maybe some roofer cheating out some lady, you know, didn't do his roof right. And those were the kind of stories he had done. So when he got this international story, he was really excited to do it. And it took a couple months for them to get it out.
What if I told you when you go to work tomorrow, there'll be someone there to take your job? What if I told you that you'll have to train that person to do your job? Sounds rather far-fetched, don't you think? Well, it isn't.
Americans across the country, hundreds of thousands of Americans have lost their jobs and can't get work.
Mike Emmons and James Granberry were working at Siemens in Lake Mary, and they both claim the company has replaced them with cheaper foreign labor.
At the time, there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there was no YouTube, but Michael was a programmer, and he used that skill to distribute the story over the web.
So what I did to bring awareness, I would capture the news on WKMG. I would capture it on my video camera and then switch it over to my computer, digitize it, and then serve it up on the internet. And I had a little Linux box in my office here that was my server, and I had 30,000 hits a week at times.
Eventually, the national news caught wind, with immigration legend Lou Dobbs covering the story.
We've been reporting for weeks on this show about the massive loss of American jobs to foreign countries in our series of special reports, Exporting America. What is less well known is how tens of thousands of foreigners take jobs in this country every year under special visa programs. Incredibly, some American workers are training those foreigners to take their own jobs.
They held out a carrot for the Americans, a severance.
Stay on and train your replacement workers, then you'll get this severance when you leave. I stayed on until November until I landed another job. But what I learned about these H-1B and L-1 visas is very discouraging for American workers.
Mike's wife went to work. One of their big concerns, uninterrupted health care coverage for their daughter, born with spinal bifida. Mike found another job at considerably less pay.
The story even reached the national news desk of Peter Jennings.
The economy has been struggling to hold on to the jobs in the face of overseas competition. And ABC's Betsy Stark tonight has the latest installment in our series, our ongoing series, Jobless in America.
Not long after Michael Emmons moved his family cross-country to take a new job as a software programmer, he lost the job, and his employer was candid why.
They called the Americans into a room, and they told them that they were going to be outsourced, and they were going to be replaced.
Replaced by workers from India. Emmons and his colleagues were expected to train.
It was the most demoralizing thing I've ever been through. I had to now teach foreign workers how to do my job so they can lay me off.
What drove Michael was the simple injustice of it all. The American government was actually allowing and helping corporations replace American workers, its citizens, with cheap foreign workers.
But to use visas and say there's not enough Americans to accomplish their goal to get cheap labor, it's just wrong. The U.S. Congress created visas that allow corporations that line their pockets to get rid of their employees.
We often hear about illegal immigration devastating the American worker, flooding the labor force with cheap labor, driving down wages, and taking our working class jobs. We've told those stories here on Red Pilled America. But it is not just illegal immigration hurting the American worker. It is legal immigration as well. That's the position of Roger Ross, an economic expert who once benefited from a foreign visa.
I truly think that, you know, there's no difference between illegal and legal immigration when it comes to labor supply economics. It's all about getting the cheap labor. And as long as that mantra is propelled on, we're going to see more devastation of our economic conditions in this country.
Which leads us back to the question, why does Silicon Valley love immigrants so much? It's simple. Immigrants are cheap labor that they can exploit. Silicon Valley pushes both legal and illegal immigration because it helps their bottom line.
You know, people often talk about two parts of the issue. High-skill H-1Bs, the issues that tech companies have, and full comprehensive immigration reform, as if they're two completely separate issues. But anyone who knows a dreamer knows that they're not.
Silicon Valley is only worried about continued growth, and they're willing to find that growth at any cost, including replacing the American workforce. We are living in unprecedented times. Americans are losing jobs to automation, new technologies, and offshoring. Some are predicting driverless cars will eliminate over 4 million jobs. Illegal immigrants have flooded construction, landscaping, farming, house cleaning, factory, janitorial, and the childcare industries, lowering wages and replacing American workers. And throughout all of this, Silicon Valley is constantly making a push to increase foreign work visas. A 2016 report showed that nearly three-quarters of Silicon Valley techies are foreign-born. Three-quarters. How many more do they need? The big tech billionaires are not being altruistic. They're being greedy. They love the cheap labor. It's just that simple. The situation has become so dire that it's even triggered Roger Ross, a man who once benefited from a foreign worker visa, to speak out. Roger married an American. He is now a permanent resident with a green card. And he's using his insider knowledge to the abuse of foreign work visas to inform the public on this issue.
I'm just seeing a total destruction of our economic conditions, and that's why I'm beginning to panic. I noticed that our Congress, as well as future leaders, are still going about the whole immigration reform concept in the wrong direction, and that's why we're not seeing any meaningful progress. You're seeing a total stagnation of our wages. You are also seeing the labor participation rate, which is the true measure of people employed in the labor force, is declining. And we're pretty much headed to a cataclysmic condition of you know, our economic situation exacerbating to where you're gonna have a lot of our college graduates not being able to find jobs. They're inundated with student loan debt, and it's piling up each day. And a lot of our American workers are not finding the jobs that they want, even though they're really highly skilled and deserving of the jobs, which, you know, a lot of the Silicon Valley and the corporatist types are saying that there's a shortage of. Well, what we're seeing is that there's a standard discrimination of workers who are either American or are at a higher age. There's this whole ageism discrimination that's going on, where if you're past the age of 30 years old, you're not as valuable to the company because they know you would warrant a higher pay based on, you know, the experience that you have. And they don't want to pay those salaries. So that's why they would rather hire someone who's a younger OPT international student or a younger H-1B who will happily accept the wages in exchange for immigration benefits.
When coal workers were losing their jobs during the Obama administration, journalists suggested that they should learn to code to find employment. Well, Michael Emmons actually learned to code, long before the advice came from our thoughtful media. But in the age of big tech, learning to code is hardly a fail-safe when Silicon Valley continues to push for more and more foreign workers. Silicon Valley is pulling a con job on the American people by claiming we need more foreign workers. We don't. And if we continue to let big tech dictate our immigration policy, we can kiss the American dream goodbye.
And if you think your living space is cramped, take a look at this truck. It looks like any other, right?
Sure.
Yeah. No, it's not. This truck is actually home for a 23-year-old man who works for Google. It's actually parked right outside the headquarters of Google.
Red Pilled America is an iHeartRadio original podcast. It's produced by me, Adriana Cortez, and Patrick Carelci for Inform Ventures. Now, our entire archive of episodes is only available to our Backstage subscribers. To subscribe, visit redpilledamerica.com and click support in the top menu. Thanks for listening.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. How do you know you're not overpaying? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a technology company that securely connects with your insurance and reviews your claims for overbilling, wrong codes, and even fraud. To date, HealthLock has saved its members over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.